we're talking about what does it look like as people who follow Jesus to continue to grow in our faith and yet retain the kind of essential trust and faith that is at the heart of having a deep relationship with Jesus. And part of the challenge in this subject matter is always trying to figure out how do we continue to move forward and grow and continue to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and at the same time kind of retain that essential first love mentality that we have when we first connect our lives to God. And so part of what it means to grow up is to stay young inside of us, to stay young at heart. And today we're going to be focusing on a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And so I want to just read to you the extended part of the chapter that we're going to be talking about. And then I'm going to focus just on a specific verse for today. So those of you that generally get stressed out flipping back and forth in your Bibles, today is going to be pretty easy because we're going to stay in the same place the whole morning. But here we have from Hebrews 5 and into chapter 6 the following passage. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let's go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds or placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions on baptism or the laying of hands or the resurrection of the dead or the eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. It's quite a doozy as a pastoral note, isn't it? I know quite a few friends who work in different churches, and I feel like it is part of maybe a pastoral liability when you are working with people and in trying to help them grow spiritually to retain your patience. And especially when you work with teenagers like I do, it can sometimes feel like you just want to grab them by the shoulders and say, grow up already, right? I'm sure some of you who have teenagers at home have had that experience, right? When you're picking up the laundry for the fourth, fifth, or sixth time this week. The reality is that it's tough and it's challenging sometimes for us when we experience community to be surrounded by people that we know deep in their hearts are trying to follow Jesus, and yet we all struggle to continue to grow. We all struggle to move past the things we know into a deeper understanding. And one of the things I love about the fact that this passage is in the New Testament is it shows us that we can be honest about that reality, that we can be honest about the fact that sometimes we have a desire to kind of hold on to the way things are already instead of moving on into new life and new fruit. One of the most incredible experiences I've had spiritually lately has been watching my kids grow up. I feel like there is something incredibly transformative about watching a human being going from a weak, helpless, kind of fragile infant into a growing, thriving person with all of the challenges and struggles that come along with that. You know, any of you who have kids know that part of the challenge of watching your kids grow up is kind of that balancing act between helping them learn and grow and teaching them and guiding them and also letting them learn things by themselves, learning how to be independent and free of your constant guidance. And part of the challenge of that balancing act is kind of being knowing when to step back and when to engage, right? But I think one of my favorite stories related to this is when our daughter Katie, who's going to be 5 in September, was about 6 or 7 months old and started moving into eating solid food, we experienced the full range and palette of mess in our kitchen. There's something, I think, kind of ironic that the healthiest foods that you can feed your kids are also the brightest colors. It's like God was telling us, be ready for a whole new kind of mess, right? And so I remember one of these days we were moving Katie away from kind of the cereal stuff, the kind of, you know, that stuff that, you know, when you leave it in your sink by accident turns to concrete. we were moving away from that rice cereal into the fruits and veggies. And one day we gave her blended peas. Those of you who have babies know where I'm going with this. So we gave her this bowl of peas, and to this day, my daughter loves peas. She gobbles them up, and there was something about this first experience that I kind of knew was going to be special when she started eating it. There's something about the brightness of the colors, something about the look on her face, and she started immediately just diving into these peas. She was just shoveling them into her mouth, and all of a sudden, she got this look on her face, and I thought, that's weird. That's not a look I've seen before. She kind of looked a little tense, a little nervous, and I thought, what's going on here? So I kind of just pulled the bowl back from her for a second, kept an eye on her, thought maybe she's choking, maybe she's going to throw up. I don't know what's going on here. And all of a sudden, she scrunches her face together like this. She does this like, it was like she had eaten something really sour, and then immediately let out the largest sneeze I've ever seen in my life. And it was like a bazooka had just fired baby food all over our kitchen. It was shocking. I thought maybe she decided she was just going to keep all of the food in her cheeks or something just for that moment. It's like she knew it was coming. I think they kind of get sick of this as they get older, but I think my kids get a kick out of the fact that I get to tell you that they bazooka sneezed all over our kitchen. But I'm up here and they're not, so they can sort it out with me later. But this is the truth, right? Is that that when you start to move your kids forward in life, things get messy, right? In fact, if you aren't okay with embracing the mess of that change, the reality is they're not going to grow up. They're going to be stuck in that kind of infantile stage. And we all reach this point in life, right? We all reach this point where we realize that the skills that got us to that point in life, the way we've learned how to navigate the world, isn't going to carry us any longer. With my daughter, the skill that got her to the point of life where she could start eating solid foods, being able to hold a bottle by herself, being able to drink milk, wasn't going to be the skills that helped her move forward. She had to learn a whole new set of skills. She had to keep moving forward with a whole set of new challenges and new messes to face. And this is exactly what happens in our life. We get confronted with the reality that the things that carried us to that point in our life won't carry us any further. Life throws new challenges at us, new realities, whether it's being a parent or a new job or moving to a new city or even just getting to know new people. The reality is life is not cut and dry. There isn't just a clean set of steps forward. And so the process of growth is messy. And we can choose to stay clean if we want. We can decide to disengage. But the truth is, when we disengage like that, we are basically giving up on growing up. We're giving up on the fact that those challenges, those new realities, are going to push us into the future. And so just like real babies that are learning to eat solid food, we as people need to learn how to grow up and face the new challenges of life. This is what the writer of Hebrews is confronting his congregation with. He is pushing them to consider the reality that they are not going to be served by continually going over the basics over and over and over again. He is pushing them to consider the fact that in order to continue to grow in their faith, in order to continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus, they need to start to ask some questions. They need to start to dig deeper. And so this is the thing. We often look at the risks in life, but what about the risks of staying put? What are the risks we face when we don't grow? What are the risks that we embrace when we choose to try and take the safe route through life? And so we have this word that keeps coming up in the Bible over and over again whenever we talk about people that are spiritually mature or people that have grown up in their faith. It's this word called wisdom. And wisdom becomes this theme, this key point over and over again in the scriptures to point us to what does it mean to be people that are continually growing in our faith even as we hold on to the essential core of what it means to be people. And so what we have to do is we have to embrace a life of wisdom in order to continue to move forward. The wise people in this world are the people that have learned how to continue to grow even as they hold on to that depth in their life. See, we have this struggle. And so what we're going to explore today is we're going to look at how do we continue to grow up without letting go of that thing. But first, I want to say we have to realize that when we cling to the past, when we hold on to the past in life, we can't grasp the future. When we hold on tightly to the way things have been, we can't grasp the future. We can't, our hands are not free to embrace new experiences. You know, the world keeps moving on even when we don't want it to. Yesterday, I spent 8 or 9 hours at Canada's Wonderland with a bunch of junior high students and some leaders. And I'll tell you, I did not expect in my early 30s to be coming home from Canada's Wonderland doing a Google search for why don't I like roller coasters anymore? There was something weird where I still loved the feeling of actually being on the roller coaster, but then when I got off the roller coasters yesterday, it was like I was still on the roller coaster. It was like this weird experience where things were moving and shaking and twisting, and I just felt like kind of nauseous, and I had a headache, and I thought, what is going on? I always was this kind of person that liked these kind of experiences. What is happening? And so I did a Google search, and it came up that the reality is that even if you like the experience of roller coasters, as you get older, your body actually has adapted to a point where it's no longer kind of calibrating your inner ear and all those movement sensor things. And that's actually why kids love being thrown up in the air and spinning around. That's why, has anybody ever seen a six-year-old that just spins in a circle for like an hour for no reason, right? And they don't ever seem to get dizzy, and they don't ever seem to get sick, and they'll fall over, and you think, oh, they're finally done. Then they'll get up and do it for another hour. That they actually find the fact that their equilibrium systems are still adjusting is actually part of what makes the thrill so novel and new. It's like every experience is a different experience. But when we get older, our inner ear systems and all those things have settled down to a point that we experience those systems of being twisted and turned for too long. And so what ends up happening is our body doesn't know what to do with the fact that we still feel like we're on a roller coaster even though we're not on a roller coaster. That we still feel like we're spinning even though we're not spinning. And so I thought, this is such a perfect, you know, it's one of those moments where I felt like, you know, even though I'm the one up here standing and talking to y'all, I feel like sometimes it's like God is kicking me in the head, telling me, you know, you got to listen to this stuff too, buddy. Because it was like I had this moment of realizing, wow, this is exactly what we do when we hold on to things for too long, when we don't adapt to the world around us, when we don't admit that life has changed, when we keep forcing ourselves to keep doing the same things over and over again, trying to reclaim that kind of past glory, that past experience, and not recognize that God has moved on in our life, that we are moving on into new ways of experiencing the world. And when we try and force ourselves to do things, it's disorienting. It makes us sick to our stomachs. And so this is why we need wisdom. We need wisdom because we need to learn when to let go of the past and move on into the future. We need wisdom to learn how to live life with skill and experience. In fact, the word wisdom in Hebrew literally means skillful living. It means to live with skill. It's having the skills and abilities to know how to live life the right way. And so the wise are the people that have from perspective and understanding and ability to keep moving forward. And so we need to embrace wisdom because the reality is people that don't embrace being wise end up making themselves sick. They end up making themselves disoriented with the world. All of a sudden, the world doesn't make sense to them anymore. Has anybody ever met one of these people that just is constantly complaining about how the world around them has changed, how nothing is the same anymore, how they don't get how things work? You know what's really funny is that this isn't an age thing. There are old people that are very wise, and there are old people that are very unwise, that are unwilling to embrace the fact that the world around them is changing. You know, one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced was I remember emailing with my grandfather who taught himself how to use a computer in his 80s because he knew the world was changing and that I was probably not going to handwrite him a letter every time I wanted to talk to him. You know, that is amazing wisdom to continue to see that the world is changing. And so what we need to do as people is we need to kind of decide that we are going to embrace the challenge of digging into the mess of life and be willing to embrace those truths. And so I love that in Hebrews 5, we have this verse again. And I just want to go back and re-highlight it for you because it's an incredible picture. I love this translation, how it actually nails exactly this feeling. It says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through, and this is the key part, through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You know, I love that the author of Hebrews here is nailing this perfect idea of wisdom, that he's essentially saying to the people he's writing to, you need to continue to grow in your ability to discern right from wrong. That when you reduce the world down to easy categories, when you want to just stick with the simplistic and the easy answers, you are maybe going to have comfort, but you're not going to have the ability to navigate the world around you. And so you need to train yourself in the skill of knowing the difference between right and wrong. Now, there is a beautiful message in here. There's lots of beautiful messages in it. But there's a beautiful message in here that we do not have to worry about being born with this skill set. This is not a talent you get at birth, that there are some people born wise and some people born immature. The reality is we can all grow. The writer of Hebrews is saying you need to take responsibility to continue to grow in your faith. That you can't expect that everything is going to stay the same, that once you've got the baseline things figured out, that you're done. And so it's like he's saying growing older doesn't automatically mean you're growing wiser. That just being on this planet longer doesn't make you a wise people. A person. It means that the wise people in this world aren't just the people that know a lot about the world. That wise people are people that know the difference between right and wrong. They know how to choose the right way to live. In fact, over and over again, we get this phrase in the Bible. It's kind of one of those phrases that gets thrown around a lot that we actually misunderstand quite a bit, which is this word righteousness. And the word righteousness literally just means right living. It means to live in the right way. It means to live in the way that you will thrive as a person. We tend to like kind of reduce it down to people that are kind of morally perfect or people that are really good at keeping the rules. But actually, the concept of righteousness is just to live rightly. And so what the author of Hebrews is pushing us towards is to live rightly means to know how to navigate the world around you by being able to choose the difference between right and wrong. And see, when we reduce wisdom down to just kind of moralism, when we reduce it down to just following the rules, we're actually doing the opposite of what wisdom calls us to. We're actually pushing against the kind of growth we need to do. In fact, we see countless examples in the scriptures of when God was pushing people to follow the spirit of the law more than the letter of the law. We actually see stories over and over again of people who bent or even broke the rules in order to do what the rule was really pointing to. And so the law is like kind of this baseline system, right? It's this set of legal rules and regulations that are like the basics. They're just, you know, it's like with kids. You give kids rules because they don't know how to interpret right and wrong yet, right? So you have to give them rules so that they have a really clear spelling out of right and wrong. But as you grow up, you realize that the world is not black and white. The world does not fit into clean categories. And so you have to learn how to discern when what shade of gray is the right way to go. And sometimes it means between choosing kind of wrong option A and wrong option B. And sometimes it's about choosing right option A and right option B. Sometimes there's too many good choices, right? You have to choose between the two really awesome jobs, or you have to pick between the two really great houses, right? Or sometimes it's you have to pick a job that, you know, is close but pays you well. Or no, that's the good jobs, right? No, you have to pick the job that's close but doesn't pay very well, right? Or you have to do the opposite. You can make some more money and spend more time in the car, right? That's the wrong option, by the way. Anybody who's ever had to commute in their life will tell you that there is a hidden cost to that, right? This is the thing. That is the wisdom piece. That is the piece where we realize that the world is not just black and white. And so the only way to move forward is for us to recognize that reality and to decide we're going to continue to work that way. You know, you don't teach an infant how to eat solid food by explaining it to them, right? You don't just say, this is good and you're big now and you don't need to eat these, you know, you don't have to drink from a bottle anymore. You know, right? If it was that easy, right, we'd all potty train our kids in a day and we'd all, you know, teach our kids how to drive on the first try and we'd all learn a new skill the first time we attempted it. But that's, the truth is that the real learning comes from the practice. The real learning comes from the effort. And so the only way to really learn how to live righteously, the only way to live the right way that we are meant to be is to get on with the living part. Instead of trying to figure it all out, we have to get on with the practice and the trying and the failure. You know, it means if we want to live right in this world, we need wisdom. And if we want to be wise, we need to find a source of wisdom. We need to find a way to connect ourselves with someone or some people that will guide us. And it's a wisdom really is not just about figuring the things out. It is about figuring out how to actually do those things. So think of it this way. Think of it as almost like if you were to live unrighteously or you were to live unwise, it's like living with one arm tied behind your back. It's like trying to make life more difficult than it needs to be. This is the thing. Oftentimes we pick the easy route because we think it's going to be easier, right? And the reality is it ends up actually costing us in the long run because we're not growing into the kind of people that God wants us to be. It seems easier at first to just keep your kids on a bottle. It's easier to just say, we're going to skip the solid food and we're just going to go with what works. Until all of a sudden you start realizing they get bigger and they get hungrier and you're making bottles every 2 hours, right? That the realities of life and growth are natural and keep happening and you need to embrace them. And so the key to childlike faith is a life of wisdom. We become wise then when we start to build our connection to God, who is the source of all wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord grants all wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." We have to build a childlike faith built on wisdom. And so that's why the way the Hebrews writer puts it in 5:14 is so beautiful, because it captures this idea that we are to retain those beautiful. He doesn't say forget all that stuff you learned in childhood and start moving on to the more complex things. He's saying keep those things, but move on, build off of them. They are the foundation that you're going to build your life on. And so what the wise are people that build their lives in close connection with God. Their relationship with God becomes the source of all of their guidance and wisdom. And so you gain this guidance and wisdom not just by studying, but by living life in close proximity to God, with building those habits that build an intimate and deep relationship. This is the thing, is that oftentimes in our kind of Protestant work ethic kind of way of thinking about the world, we think that faith is all a mental game, that it's all about nailing the concepts. And sometimes this verse has kind of been misinterpreted to say, okay, you've got the basic theological things down, you've got the basic understandings of God down, now you've got to get the complex understanding. You got to, like, you know, you figured out, to use a kind of science example, you figured out the Newtonian physics and you need to get into, like, the astrophysics and all the, like, super complex, dense relativity stuff that I still don't understand, even though I've read books about it, and you know what I mean? No matter how many, you know what I mean? Where you're all of a sudden, you think that to grow, you have to grow in complexity, that you have to grow in density of information. But the truth is that we see in the scriptures that real wisdom actually comes from intimacy, that wisdom comes from being tied closely to the one person that knows your life better than anyone. That being connected to God in a deep and intimate way is actually the way that we are guided into understanding how we choose the right and wrong in the world. And so what we learn is that To live the right life means to live wise, and to live wise means to live in an intimate connection with God. And this is why the word that we often see so closely associated with people that are spiritually mature is this word faith, which is this word that is one word that has so much meaning and density packed into it that you could do sermons upon sermons upon sermons about talking about it, right? It sometimes means trust. It means to be able to lean in. It also means to believe, to know that somebody is trustworthy in what they're saying. It also means to be dependent, to lean into them in a way where you're not just trusting them intellectually, but you are actually staking your life on the same things. And so true growth is really birthed in our willingness to lean into that relationship with God, where we are willing to spend the time in developing that heartfelt connection that will guide us through the most difficult seasons of life. And so true growth really is about combining that childlike wonder and awe and amazement with the world, with a growing sense of being able to see and recognize the different paths that life will take us on. And combining those two things with a relationship with God that will push us to be able to consider the paths that we wouldn't consider on our own. That will force us to maybe ask the difficult questions of life. That will ask us to ask ourselves, are the things that we assume about the world really true? We all grow up with kind of this inherited belief system that we pick up from all of those around us, where we assume that the world works a certain way, that the world only works for people that work, you know, themselves to the bone and work 60-hour work weeks and never take a day off, or those parents that always seem to dress their kids perfectly and always have their kids behaving on the playground. Those kids, by the way, always misbehave when they get home, okay? They're always, those are the kids that are always dressed perfectly are the moms that get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because they're desperately convinced that the world around them is judging them based on the way their kids look. The truth is that we inherit these ways of looking at the world around us. And part of what wisdom gives us is the willingness to question those stories. It gives us the faith and trust in relationship with God to know that when we lean into knowing that God has us no matter what, that like the writer in Hebrews says, that all of those basics are covered, that we know that at the end of the day, that love is at the center of the universe. It gives us the freedom to start to question those stories, to start to question the ways in which we think the world operates, and to start to move forward with that childlike wonder about discovering where the new paths will take us. You know, one of the big guides in my life over the last few years as I've been unpacking some of the assumed stories that I have about my own life has been a Franciscan friar by the name of Richard Rohr. He's a wonderful writer and author that has written all sorts of stuff about the contemplative life and how to lean into a deep relationship with God. I tend to be this kind of person that lives in my head all the time. I tend to overanalyze things and worry about the worst case scenarios and only like to do things that make sense, once they make sense to me. And one of the things I love about the contemplative stream of Christianity is that it pushes us to use our minds to push us out of just thinking about life and into actually living life. And Richard Rohr has this awesome quote that I put in your notes there that says, "We do not think ourselves into new ways of living. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking." You know, for somebody of my personality type that loves to think all the time, that thinks I should only engage once I've got everything figured out, I love this quote because it pushes me to start to actually live my way into new ways of thinking. I love this quote because he doesn't say that the path to spiritual freedom is to turn off your brain. It isn't to just accept things blindly and just pretend like everything just makes sense when it doesn't. It doesn't tell us that the path of spiritual maturity is to become blinded to our own questions. What Father Rohr is asking us to do is to say, sometimes things don't make sense until you experience them. That sometimes things like love and faith and trust don't make sense until you actually have lived experience of those things. And so this is where I think the next stage of wisdom comes from, because this shows, I think, the beautiful message that Father Rohr tells us is that the wise are those who know that intimacy comes from persistence. That you don't have an intimate relationship with God, you don't have an intimate relationship with anybody in your life just because you say you want one. Just because you say, I want a better relationship with God, I want a better relationship with my spouse, I want a better relationship with my kids. That just wanting it to happen isn't enough. That you actually have to show up. That you have to actually get your hands dirty. That you have to be willing to ask those tough questions and have those difficult conversations and take the risk that that person is going to respond in a way that you don't expect. That sometimes it means that when we are developing our relationship with God, when we are in prayer, when we are in meditation, when we are reading the scriptures, that sometimes at first glance things aren't going to make sense to us. Or that God is going to ask us to question something we grew up believing. That sometimes we are going to be asked the difficult things in life and we have to keep showing up. That even if things are difficult, if we choose to bail, if we choose to not participate, if we choose to hide in our minds or hide behind our routines or to keep doing the things that make sense to us already, we are going to rob ourselves of the intimacy that comes from persistence, from showing up even when the answers aren't easy. And so I love that what this is saying is that the wise realize that everything in your life can teach you something. If you are looking around at your life right now and you're wondering, where can I grow? What do I need to start? Some of you are like me and you probably look in the mirror and you think, where do I start with all of this mess, right? How do I start tearing apart all of those stories that are all knit together? Where do I even begin with this process? A part of being wise is recognizing that your life is already teaching you things, that God is already at work in your story to bring about the kind of change he wants, that God isn't passively sitting there waiting for you to pick up your torch and start walking, that he's actually already, the Spirit of God is already at movement in your life to begin to move you into the places you need to grow. And so everything in your life could teach you something. Those mistakes and failures you make can teach you something. They can show you a new way forward. That job that you lost because you made that mistake that you regret and you beat yourself up about, that can teach you something. That frustrating relationship that even though you go back time and time again trying to get them to see your side of the story, maybe that can teach you something. That long, dry spell where you feel like even though you pray and read your Bible and do all the things you've been told and it seems like God isn't speaking to you, that can teach you something. That the truth is that life is full of lessons for us to learn. And the truth is we don't have to wait to learn something from it, even if what we have to learn from it is to wait. And so I have kind of four observations that I just feel like I've picked up in my life, that I feel like I've seen from wise people their behavior. The beautiful thing about wisdom is that it is not age restricted. You know, we tend to think of wise people as these kind of Gandalfs in life. They have big, awesome white beards and, you know, they look very, you know, they've been through life. They've got, you know, awesome wrinkly faces and, you know, they've seen some stuff, right? We tend to think those are the wise people in life. But the truth is, you can be wise at any age if you're willing to do the work of choosing the right path. And so I've kind of picked up on these maybe four observations, you can call them. These are just my things that I've seen kind of there, and I would pass them on to you as lessons of wisdom for anybody of any age. The first one is, if you're young, stay humble. You know, every 20-year-old I've ever met in my life, especially after they've done their first year of university or college, thinks they know everything about the world, right? 20-year-olds, just admit it, okay? It's the way it is. It's just the way you are. It's actually part of your life stage that you're like so overwhelmed by all this information and new understanding that you literally think that's the entire like Wikipedia of existence is now in your brain. I remember being in college and asking my professors all of these like ridiculous questions because I was convinced that I had like kind of found my way around how they thought about things and kind of had found their booby traps in their thinking. You know, I thought I'd outsmarted all of them. And, you know, it's funny how as soon as I got into that mentality that I knew everything, how immediately that shut down my ability to keep growing. So if you are young, stay humble. Be willing to realize that even as you succeed and grow in life, the truth is life has so much more to teach you. If you're older, stay soft. If you're older, stay soft. I don't mean like moisturize often. I mean like stay emotionally soft. Don't, you know, I think one of the signs of a need for spiritual maturity in an older person is that the older they get, the grumpier they get, right? That they seem like nothing is impressive anymore and everything happened in the good old days and all that kind of stuff. You know what's funny about the good old days? They were good, but they're old. Right? They're not here anymore, right? As awesome as they may have been, the truth is that the reality is that we don't live there. We live now. In fact, they've started to do studies on the human brain, and they've actually realized two things. One, we tend to actually, it's like our brain's way of saving like mental space. We actually tend to delete negative memories from the past that aren't like catastrophic ones. They're just kind of like, we tend to forget the bad details about something. So, you know, it's like that movie that was your favorite movie when you were a kid, you watch it now and you're like, wow, the acting in this movie is really terrible, right? You tend to like forget about that part because you just remember how you felt as a kid when it was awesome, right? We have this tendency to do that, but we also have this tendency to be incapable as people of actually thinking about the future or the past. They actually know now biologically that when we are thinking about the future or the past, we're actually presently trying to live in those experiences. And so what that shows us is that I think deep inside of us, we realize that the people that are really wise, the people that really know what's going on, are actually open and soft to the moment around them. And so instead of letting your experience kind of jade you and make you cynical, as you get older, stay soft, stay open, stay willing to be taught by younger people. Be willing to admit that you don't know everything just because you've experienced a lot. You know, there's a big difference between having a lot of experience and experiencing a lot of things. If you're new in life, if you're coming to a new experience, if you're new to the faith, if you're new to understanding who Jesus is, seek guidance. Look for people that will take you under their wing and show you the way of things. Don't be embarrassed by your lack of knowledge. Don't be embarrassed by the fact that you don't necessarily know all the right words or know all the words to the songs or know how things work. Have the really wise people are the people that go recognize when they're new to something and seek out the experts, are willing to go and ask people to show them the ropes at things. You know, if you're new to an experience, if you're in a new job or you're moving to a new city, you know, one of the best things you can do is try and find out who's been there the longest. Find out, you know, the people that have moved to a city and have only been there for a couple of years, they tend to sometimes just hang out with the people that are also new to the city and they all know just the basics, right? But the people who have lived somewhere for a long time, they know like the restaurant behind the restaurant behind the restaurant that nobody's ever heard of, right? They know all the shortcuts. They know all the ways around all the, you know, the eccentricities of a city. That's what we need to do in life. If you go to a new job, find out who's been at that job the longest and learn from their experience. Find out what they can show you that they don't know. And lastly, if you're experienced, if you have done a lot in life, you have to seek understanding. See, there's a difference between having an experience and actually unpacking that experience, taking the time to reflect and understand how that experience has really shaped you. You know, one of the things they know now psychologically is that we actually don't automatically process experiences. And the less we process an experience, the less effect that experience has on us. So you could go on a mind-blowing vacation. You could go to, like, the farthest reaches of the world. You could go to Tahiti or, you know, the outskirts of Siberia. I don't know if, why people would do that as a vacation, but you know what I mean. They go to some wild, crazy place, but if they just go there, fly there, and come home, they don't actually hold on to that experience as much as people that spend time looking through the photos and sharing the stories with family members and reflecting on what that experience did to them. And so if you are somebody that has gone through a lot in your life, it is very important that you unpack that experience, that you actually take the time to find out what God was teaching you through those things. Find out what your life is showing you. Because then you actually have something to pass on to somebody. You know, the best people that you get advice from, right, are the people that actually have thought through their experience instead of just parroting back what they've done, right? That they've actually learned the lesson from what life is teaching them. But you know, the most difficult thing about wisdom is often that we have to learn it through hardship. That oftentimes the things in life that teach us the most are the most difficult things in life. They're the things that hurt us, that wound us, that leave us raw and uncomfortable. And so, one of the things that I've been learning in my life has been how to be okay with the uncomfortable things of life. How to be okay with the mystery of not having the answers. One of the most beautiful things that an intimate relationship with God will give you, it's one of the biggest gifts I've received, is that the amazing thing is that a relationship can hold you when answers can't, right? A relationship can sustain you when you don't have an explanation for what's happening. That when you go through difficulties, you know, the worst thing that somebody can do is try and explain it away with platitudes and, you know, well, it's all in God's timing or these things. You know, the best thing that someone can often do when you're going through difficult things is just to be with you, to just spend time with you, to just tell you that you're there. And one of the most beautiful things about building an intimate relationship with God for me has been to experience the wholeness that carries you through those moments where you don't really know what's going to happen. To have that relationship that binds you even when you feel like everything in your life is broken. And so what I want to do this morning is, before we leave, is I just want us to take a moment to be in that space. Whatever it is in your life that's frustrating with you right now, it might be a little thing, it might be just a little project you can't get off the ground, or a thing in your house that's bugging you, or it might be a big thing, it might be a big transition that's happening, or a relationship that's fallen apart. I want you to just be in that space. Be quietly with that feeling of discomfort. Because the beautiful thing about knowing that wisdom comes from God is that God will show us what we need, even if it's not what we think we need, even if it's not what we want. He will give us what he needs because he cares for us deeply. The beautiful love of God is more than just salvation and resurrection. It is about sustainment and carrying us through the most difficult things of life. So just take a minute. We're all going to, you know, if you're comfortable, you can close your eyes or just stare off into space or whatever it is. We're just going to take 1 minute to feel that, and then I'm going to pray that God will be with you in those moments. Lord God, even in the silence, we can feel that discomfort. We live in a world that is so ripe and ready with distractions and ways to help us disengage from how we feel, that it can be very easy for us to go days, months, weeks, whatever amount of time without really sitting with that heaviness, sitting with that difficulty. But Jesus, one of the most beautiful messages you gave us is that you are with us even in our deepest suffering. that actually when we suffer, when we struggle, when we sit with discomfort, we are actually engaging with you in a profound way, that we are experiencing the same suffering you experienced in this world. And so, Jesus, I pray that you will speak to us in those moments, that we will be okay with sitting with that discomfort, that we will know that you will give us the wisdom to choose the right path, even if it's rocky and full of tripping hazards and dangers and frustrations, that you are guiding us into the right way to live. And may we have the courage to ask those difficult questions. Thank you for the gift of wisdom. And may we be people that are willing to submit our lives to you and to other people, that we will grow in the ability to make the right choices in life. Not because they follow some sort of code or we're afraid of retribution, but because we know that we will walk that narrow path to a thriving, beautiful human life. Thank you that you are with us in the midst of those things, God. Amen. Have a great week, and I hope you make some wise choices.